We're excited to talk college football, college baseball, and more 24/7 each and every Monday with Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, 1010 XL Radio, as well as First Coast News in Jacksonville. Brent, I hope you had a nice week, and things are going well in Jacksonville.
Well, the exciting thing is 2 months from today, the college football season begins with 5 games, including Illinois and Nebraska and Hawaii and UCLA. That is on August 28th again. And a week later, the UCLA and the Rose Bowl will be playing LSU. They will have played a game. LSU will not. So I'm not saying that will make that big of a difference, but it's exciting to think about college ball 2 weeks from today.
And, Brent, I think that was you brought up Nebraska. This was a team growing up in the 90s with Tom Osborne, who used to say it's not about the X's and the O's, it's about the Jimmies and the Joes, and watching those Tommy Frazier and Lawrence Phillips teams, the big offensive lines, just dominate the way, I mean, even in Florida, the year that they won by 30 in that national title. But they haven't been good in a long time. Their fan base is loyal, but they've been bad. And then they joined the Big Ten, and it was tougher because the Big Ten has more teams at the top. Now, Brent, if I had asked you today, out of the blue bloods we recognize in football, these names resonate with people. They've got huge fan bases. They have a national brand wherever you go. I'm going to give you Nebraska, Tennessee, Michigan, Texas, and Florida State. Out of those teams right now, who needs that pick-me-up more than anybody?
Well, it may be Nebraska, frankly, because they really have done almost nothing during this time. There's so many of them. You see in Tennessee, you saw the excitement for Tennessee baseball, and they've really done nothing either. Now, their basketball team has made some inroads but I would probably still say Nebraska, because we thought when Scott Frost left UCF that it would just be almost instantly when he could turn Nebraska around, but that unfortunately just not been the case. I still think Mike Norvell is going to do that at Florida State. I think Texas will be better under Steve Sarkisian. And look, of all those teams you mentioned, it's still up in the air, and who would be out and be able to do something quickly. And look, you could make an argument, Chad, that say even under James Franklin, Penn State's really has struggled to some degree. So, the teams you mentioned are in great need of being able to get themselves together, shall we say, in the next few years.
Well, and there's a few. I mean, there's other Miami and USC, but they've had a little success lately. They've showed that they are competitive. Florida State, not too long ago, with Jimbo, won a national title. So they're sort of just – they've fallen so far off the cliff. They're like one of those, you know, Bitcoin-type things that 1 week you're like living a millionaire's life, and the next week you're selling your car. But how quickly it dropped – is why I put Florida State. And it's funny because you mentioned UCF. Two of those five teams have our coaches now in Heupel and Scott Frost, and the other has our quarterback in Mackenzie Milton. So it's like, all right, well, there you go. But, Brent, when it comes down right now, you said 2 months away. When you look at intriguing quarterback battles on the list, tell me whether you see a real legit quarterback battle or that there's one guy that is the main guy and it's his job to lose. LSU, is it Brennan, or do they have an opportunity for Johnson, or is that going to be a good quarterback battle?
I think that will depend on who you talk to. And I think it depends on if Ed Orgeron is going to decide that do you lose your job because of an injury? Miles Brennan had the awful abdomen injury, had a rehab, has come back, is much better. Max Johnson, with a win over Florida, got a lot of people's attention with that, too. So I think that's a real battle between those two because they're both very capable.
Yeah, when the shoe fits, right? Oh, that probably wrong reference for that one. But.
No, yeah, Brent. So you mentioned Ed Orgeron, and I had a question about all of the news that LSU has been involved with. It seems to be for more of the wrong reasons than the good ones. But how does the situation with Ed Orgeron and all the off the field stuff with Darius Geis and that situation paired with the Tigers losing Eric Gilbert and now Dare Rosenthal, who's had some issues to the transfer portal, how does that impact how Ed Orgeron is going to be evaluated in the near future? If at all, I guess.
I think Ole will be evaluated more out of the Title IX stuff. Now, the latest thing, as you mentioned, with Dare Rosenthal, that's more on him. I mean, Rosenthal has had violation of school policy, so he's transferring after that, and he's been in trouble before. They think Cam Wire, CAMWIRE, will replace him since he's got the experience. But look, anytime you lose a starting offensive lineman in Rosenthal, that's a blow. Be interesting to see where he winds up. But the real problem here is now with, as of Friday, three additional women open up about the alleged sexual battery by former LSU football players. And they have named that Ed Orgeron encouraged allegations to be ignored. So that's a thing really that could derail this football team. Now, look, this is a really good team. I mean, they've got the majority of their starters coming back. Their line of scrimmage is virtually coming back intact. So I'm not so sure that LSU may not be even better than A&M. But at the same time, if you've got a situation here to where this snowballs on Orgeron and they don't have a choice, that could really shake this team up. Now, look, I'm not saying that's going to happen by any stretch of the imagination. But it's something that really bears watching. Now, I mean, you really don't know what LSU's going to do. I mean, when you've still got Will Wade strutting around LSU with the basketball coach after the NCAA wiretap investigation and nothing's still been done, what is to say that even the allegations of Orgeron, as that gets going with this investigation. But look, I still say Title IX investigation is a horse of a different color. It's a very serious situation, and I think if it was very obvious he covered that up, then I think that might even be beyond LSU's control to get rid of him.
Speaking with Brent Baird of College Sports Notebook, you can follow him on Twitter, at Brent Baird, B-E-A-I-R-D. Now, Brent, Brock Vandergriff was a name that there's been a couple of those names. Bryce Young was one talked about on the West Coast where guys like Nick Saban could land a chopper, his helicopter right there in a high school football field. But when it comes down to Vandergriff, 6'3", 200-pound, five-star, you know a lot because you guys cover Florida and Georgia where you guys are, hence the I'm still calling it world's largest outdoor cocktail party right there for the game. But, Brent, when you look at Vandergriff, we know it's JT Daniels' team right now, but there were signs last year. Stetson Bennett comes in, and we weren't sure when Newman ended up saying he was going to sit the year out. What are they saying right now? There's not a ton to really examine outside of a little bit of what you saw in the spring games and practice, but is Vandergriff seem like since he's been on campus – he's living up to the hype? Because to me, that's a name people should remember.
I think he's done okay. I remember he had I believe it was torn ACL that he had to deal with, and that may not have required surgery in the end, but because it may have been a little bit, or shall we say, not as bad as we thought. Now, don't forget Carson Beck.
Carson Beck, yes, yeah.
from Jacksonville could be a factor in here, too. I mean, this is JT Daniels' job to lose. I think we all know that. I think the question here, by the way, Jackson must champ. Yes, that must champ is also listed here, but I think he's just a walk-on.
But can a must-champ actually have good offensive vision? Is that possible?
Yeah,
I don't know.
There's some real questions about that, to say the least.
If his daddy raised him, I don't know. He might be doing a QB sneak on third down and 14. We don't know. So
Yeah, absolutely. So the he very much may be able to do that. But look, to your point, they really need to put somebody in and start developing another quarterback, because I think everybody knows that at the end of this year that JT Daniels is going to be gone. So the question is going to be here is, what are they going to do in the interim about being able to bring somebody in? If for either a hamstring or certainly for next year, it is going to be very important. And by the way, what we mentioned, the LSU roster a few minutes ago, that they've also got Garrett Nussmeier, who, yes, is in that Nussmeier family that we've heard a lot about. So you've got some famous sons and grandsons in the SEC pecking order right now in quarterbacks.
Brent, one final question here before we let you go. Looking right now, what you saw in baseball, I know we cover the SEC, but also a team like NC State, what a great run they were going on. There's not a perfect answer to any of this, and you feel bad for the kids that worked so hard and the run they were on, beating number one overall Arkansas in the Super Regionals and starting off with two wins. But the way it all went down, you know, it's tough, but there's also the rules that they have to follow. What do you think of what happened with college baseball? And we do have an all-SEC championship. I picked Vanderbilt at the beginning. That's not really going on a limb with their team. But what happened to NC State, and talk a little bit about what we can expect from Vanderbilt and Mississippi State.
Vandy really has a lighter and rocker. And any time you've got two starters like that, that's absolutely huge. Lighter goes tonight. The NC State thing was so poorly handled. I mean, they made a decision at 2 o'clock in the morning instead of waiting until the next morning to see were there enough players to be able to play. Matter of fact, I understood that they even wanted to maybe play a doubleheader on Saturday, on Friday, and we weren't allowed to do it. So, look, I know it's a tricky situation with that, but the other thing that goes with that, too, the NC State players who weren't vaccinated, I mean, that's their right. And even Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, said, we may not agree with it, but they've got a right to be able to do that and not get vaccinated. So I think what's disappointing with that is they just didn't wait to see where this thing was going and see who might be left to play. But, again, you know, you've got social distancing. They're playing outside. Just a cruel way to end a season for NC State that frankly – never should have happened.
I know that things – I live my life a lot more on edge. I'm the guy – it's not a good trait of mine, but I a lot of times file taxes on April 14th, things like that. But the difference is I look at it and I say, in this situation, if the umpires, if the teams, Vanderbilt and NC State all got together and they said, we are okay with this going forward, we're fine, We're my 65-year-old assistant coach is okay, we've been out here. Right. I think that should be something where they are allowed to do that, and the decision is made between the teams, the umpires, them, and say, okay, yes, play ball. Because for everybody that goes, well, that could have got somebody sick, everybody up in those stands that travel to Omaha, they're not all checked. A lot of those people didn't get tested, and they're sitting there. So that's a complete mockery of a statement, because there's more people up there hooting and hollering and getting drunk and a weakened immune system up there that could get anybody sick. So really, the only people that could be affected would be the people on the field. And if they want to play, which they seem to – healthy and fine to do it, that should be a decision between them. That's just my personal feeling. But the NCAA, the policies, the lawsuits, the liabilities, everybody that goes into it, and the backlash is, it's so sad that that's what's going to be recognized in this country.
Well, and I think the other thing with that, too, is you're talking about the population of at their age, they're in shape. They have the best medical care. The kids on the field were in that group or in that population bunch that were not at risk or the least amount of risk that there could be. So I'm with you. That should have had a real powwow on early Saturday morning. And at that point made a much thorough and probably wiser decision.